Good evening, group. My name is Wayne, and I am a recovering addict. And I'd like to be somewhere else right now. I really would. I'd like to thank my network for coming up to show up and kind of helping me to feel comfortable about doing this. You got to be careful what you ask for. You know, when I first got here, you know, I remember certain things that kind of impressed me about Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm kind of go back because the workshop is on the eighth step, but you don't come here doing the eighth step. It just doesn't work that way. And I'm not here to tell you why. It just doesn't. There's seven other things you got to do first. And I kind of got here and started to identify with some of the glitter in Narcotics Anonymous. I use that term because I'm a guy, I like attention. And when I look back as a result of doing the fourth step, I kind of look back at my patterns of behavior as a child. I was set up for addiction right from the door. You know, I remember, my godfather, who I really had true love for, who was also an active addict, when he would come over, I would do stuff like swallow change, literally, swallow it, just so I can get his attention. He used to pick me up and turn me upside down and, you know, and that kind of stuff. I look back at some of the emotional insecurities that I had as a child. And not to say that my family wasn't a loving and caring family. They did the best that they could do. You know, I had both of my parents in the household. I was a guy who just always looked for something. I wanted instant gratification right away. You know, I'm the same guy as a small child when my sisters and brothers used to invite their friends over. I go under the table so I can look under the women's dresses. You know, I'm the same guy who used to go into isolation to kind of play with myself, you know, and just play little games just with myself. So I was set up for this thing before I even got here. And when I got here with resistance. You know, I was actually rescued because I didn't know how to stop using. All I did was I would focus on stopping rather than the using. And that kind of kept the insanity going for me. I didn't want to identify with what using was really doing to my life. I just didn't do that. I thought I could stop, and since I stopped for a couple days, I thought I really had some power, and I come to find out that I didn't. So I got here again with resistance. I stood in front of a judge on a misdemeanor charge. I opened my mouth, and when I was finished, I had a felony, and it's just that daggone simple. I went into treatment and stayed in treatment for about 8 months, and I got a sponsor while I was there, and he immediately started telling me about reading the first step. Read the first step. Just read the first step. And I read it, but I didn't understand it. I didn't have a clue. Being a former United States Marine growing up in an urban community, surrender is just not part of my makeup. That's not how it works. You'll surrender to me. I surrendered to nothing. You know, and as I kept coming and started to get some clarity, and somehow or another, I just started to listen. I don't know how it happened. I don't know when it happened, but I did. And I understood what powerlessness was. I understood that anytime I'm doing things against my own will, I ain't got no power. It's just that simple. And the second half of the first step, when we talk about the unmanageability, I'm a guy that don't know what to do with a feeling. I act on what I feel. That's what I do. You know, if I feel happy, I'm going to go out and succumb to my emotional insecurities. You know, I like fleshly desires, you know, and see, that's what I do. That's just what I do. Anything to make me feel good. I'm not talking about doing stuff to make me feel better, because if I do things that's going to help me to get better, that means I got to exercise some patience. So after identifying with these things through sponsorship, there was a void that was within me, because before I got here, all I was used to doing was smoking crack. That's what I do. That's all I do. I smoke crack. Now you're going to tell me about I got to find a God of my understanding. You know, I got to develop a prayer life. You're talking about doing something which is uncomfortable to the things that I'm used to doing. So what I found to fill that void was the truth. And when I'm talking about the truth, I'm talking about the second step, because restoration of sanity to me is just about knowing the truth. The first step made clear to me that I don't know what the truth is. I live in a world of illusion. That's what I do. I got my own world, my own set of rules. I have no idea what the daggone truth is, not one. So what happened was I got here and I started to identify with the truth. I started to see that I don't have to react to my feelings. that I can put something in between the obsession and compulsion. And that's the God of my understanding working in my life through you people. Because I seen y'all coming in here laughing and carrying on. And I was wondering, what the hell y'all laughing about? I'm messed up here. You know, I don't have a house no more. I don't have a wife no more. My kids won't take my letters. What's going on? So I kind of just kept coming and I kept staying. And as I started to understand and start to, at that point, want to seek the truth. And I want to tell you, this is my first, you know, what I'm talking about now is the first cycle of steps. Because it's different now, and I'm going to bring you up to date, trust me. But this is the first cycle of steps for me, you know. And as I started to move, working with a sponsor into the next phase of the program, I start to find out that I can go on with the program. All I got to do is make a decision. It's real simple. I can represent the program. That's all I got to do. Just keep coming. I can move on. I can move on. I can now start to find out that I, as a human being, I'm only responsible for effort and not result. Move on. My sponsor told me now what we're going to do, we're going to introduce yourself to yourself. That's what happened to me in the fourth step. I started to identify with some patterns through writing. And the first thing, as I said before, I've started to develop a prayer life. Now, this is not a religious program. It's absolutely not. But one thing I know, my experience is that I can't rely on me for power. I can't do that. If I rely on me for power, when we get to the eighth step, the list is just going to get longer and longer and longer. When I rely on me for power, when I try to rely on my own thinking, something's getting ready to happen. And it's going to be a destructive end. That's my pattern. I mean, that is my pattern. I mean, I'm a guy who went to a woman and said, I wanted to be married to you, and got the permission of her family and developed it and started to have children and took them out of their element, and they trusted and believed in me, and I let them down because I relied on me for power, because I told them they're going to live the way that I dictate that they live. I live in my own little world. You want to be in my world, you got to follow my rules. Now, I'm talking about Wayne today. You know, that's what I'm talking about. So as I started to pray and start to write these things down, I still didn't see a pattern. This is my first cycle of steps. I didn't see no pattern. I was just doing what y'all said I could do because I started feeling different from the first to the third step. See, I had learned to start giving up. I had learned to start letting go. I had started to practice relying on your thinking rather than my own. And it was getting good. So when I got through the fourth step and I got to the fifth, I was nervous as I don't know what when the fifth step came up. See, my thing was, I got FBI and CIA secrets. I ain't telling you nothing. For real. I'm trying to tell you. You know what I mean? And see, when we start talking about the area of emotional insecurities, and you know, thank God I know today that I ain't alone. You know what I mean? I just happen to be standing here talking about it. But I ain't alone. I'm talking about those sexual insecurities. You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about. Because I am off the hook when it comes to emotional insecurities. Even right now today, I am off the hook. So I started to go into the fifth step, and I started to let my sponsor know, because that's what I did my fifth step with, exactly where I was at on my fourth step. And guess what? Man, he's just like me. I started to go to more meetings, and I hear y'all share, and y'all just like me. Y'all have done the same things that I've done, and if you haven't, keep coming back. You'll get honest with you, Wayne. You know what I mean? You'll get honest with you. Because sometimes I can hold on to denial. And after going through this process, you know, I mean, by that time, I was extremely motivated. I'm really fired up now. I want more. I want to know what's going on with me. I want to really introduce myself to myself. Well, God, in his infinite wisdom, put a sixth step in place. And in the sixth step, I got in touch with my fourth. I started to see what we call a defect in character. Excuse me. Defect in character, a basic instinct given to me by God, like self-preservation. I mean, real basic instinct that I have misused. And I'm going to talk about the area of emotional insecurities, because that's the second addiction for me. So that's where I'm at. You know, and I start looking at the defect of lust and where it came from, because see, in the fifth, we were talking about the exact nature. Not so much the act, but what motivates the act. Why you act like you act, man? What's going on with you? You know, you got an abandonment issue because on December the 7th, 1969, your mother was buried. You got a resentment because on the day that she died, your father and your brothers and sisters made you go to school. And when you came back, she was gone. What's wrong with you? You understand what I'm talking about? So I got some defects that came from the instincts that my God gave me, and I misused them. He said, Wayne, you can procreate. There's nothing wrong with you liking women. You can procreate. You can have sex for the purpose of procreation. I use it for recreation. Huh? I'm off the hook. You see, I'm talking about the sixth step where now I can stand up. I can stand up and have a willingness to do something different if I choose to. The first step gave me a first choice because I ain't smoking no crack, so I got a choice. I'm practicing giving my thinking to somebody else. That's what I'm doing. I'm practicing doing that. I got a shot. I got some hope. That's the message of Narcotics Anonymous. The message is hope. The promise is freedom. Freedom from active addiction. Freedom from me if I do what y'all tell me to do. So as I continue to move on with this process, with this journey that I'm loving, I got a good prayer life. You know what I mean? I'm talking about feeling real good inside. I'm starting to shine. The eyes is bright. I'm glowing. I'm feeling good. I'm living like I never lived before in my life. And then we come to the seventh step where we talk about this thing called humility. Humility. And I hate to talk about that because for me, to speak about humility is arrogance. And if I look at the steps, the foundation of each step is humility. So all I got to do is what? Practice these principles and all your affairs, Wayne. Humility will come. It will come. But see, what I really got out of this seventh step is that I'm a guy who's apt for the spiritual, or apt for the material over the spiritual every single time if I don't put my higher power first. If I don't put my higher power first, I want the gators. I want the cars. You understand? I want. Listen to me. I'm self-centered. You hear it? That's what I want. So the Creator put a seventh step in place. Because see, he know that for real, the only thing I'm capable of doing is smoking crack. That's why the seventh step is there for me. That's why it's there. It's for me so that I can put myself in a position where my Creator can save me. Because I don't know how to save myself. Now, we just went 1 through 7. My experience 1 through 7 was I worked on anger. I worked on resentment. See, and these are the things that will block me in the eighth step. And in the eighth step, we're talking about just making a list. That's what we're talking about. That's the bottom line. I'm talking about getting a piece of paper through sponsorship and writing down some names of some people to the best of my ability that I can remember causing harm to. Well, what the hell is harm? See, in the eighth step, what I'm talking about is Wayne learning to live with Wayne. That's what he's really talking about. Because I can't move on. My spirit does not operate out of guilt and shame. It won't do it. It will not do it. So now what I'm talking about is I have to put myself in a place of total honesty like I've never been honest before. I got to go back to 4. You know, we talk about that fearless and thorough. Fearless and thorough. I got to do the same thing in 8. I got to do the, if I want the benefit. And my first cycle of steps, I wanted the benefit. I wanted the benefit. So I'll sit down with my sponsor. And when we got to 8, he said something to me real simple. He said, man, it's time for you to come outside of you. You don't think about you no more. This is not about you now. This is not about you at all. See, this is about the drunk that you rolled, you understand, to get yours on 30th and Dolphin. Yeah, this is about the wife and the children that you abandoned, left them in Virginia. I'm from Philly. Leaving them in Virginia to go back to Philly, which is familiar to me, so I can do what I do best. That's what this is about. This is about, as a child, coming home after school, going upstairs, tipping, you know, because I tip real good, going into the drawer and stealing the money from your grandfather's retirement. That's what this is about. You know what I mean? So you can't forget that. See, you don't know what harm is? Let me tell you what harm is. Because, see, we got a book. It's called A Basic Text in Narcotics Anonymous. And it's real clear. There's nothing really confusing about it if you don't have a sponsor. See, that's the part. Yeah, sponsorship. Because, see, if you read It Works How and Why, right in the beginning, they'll tell you, don't do this alone, Wayne. Because if you've identified with your thinking being destructive, then you know that your thinking can't fix your own thinking. Don't do it alone. Please. Don't. So what it says here is that We need some, excuse me, let me put my glasses on. I just got some glasses. Yeah. See, I've been in denial for a minute, right? I can't see without no glasses, and I'm putting them on. Yeah. Okay. It says here, and this is the basic text, it says we need some real honesty before we can make an accurate list. Got to be honest with you, Wayne. In preparing to make the 8-step list, it is helpful to define harm. One definition of harm is physical or mental damage. Physical or mental damage. And I'm going to go through this because, see, I can stay here all night, for real. And you could, too. Yeah. Another definition of harm is inflicting pain, suffering, or loss. The damage may be caused by something that is said, done, or left undone. Harm can result from words or actions, either intentional or unintentional. The degree of harm can range from making someone feel mentally uncomfortable or inflicting bodily injury or even death. Let's talk about that, Wayne, because I need to talk about that. Because, see, in the 8th step, what I got in touch with was how demanding I really was, especially of my family. You know, I didn't always use narcotics. I didn't always do that. You know, I was a guy, as a kid, they equated the word prodigy with me, with my growth and development. Yeah, and I ain't alone. We some brilliant people. Now, let's get real here. You know, they actually saw me as a prodigy. See, I'm the same kid that when I was in school, in elementary school, I used to practice doing what the teacher said to do. I used to try to talk like they talk. But when I left school and I started to talk to my older sister and people in the community, they'd be like, boy, shut up. Don't talk like that. Yeah, misinformed. So let's get to the harm, because I don't know where this is going. The Creator got it. I'm telling you right now. You know, I start to think about in the 8th step when it talks about inflicting that harm and that pain, my immediate family. Because, see, I'm a traditional guy. I believe that I should have been married, and I should have children, and I should care for them to the best of my ability. But I had some stuff with me. You got to do what I say do when I say do it. Huh? Yeah. So already, I don't know how to have a relationship. That's what I'm telling you. Because, see, the 8th step tells me about, I don't know how to have a relationship. I don't know how to give you the opportunity to show me what's truly inside of you. I don't have that. I can't have an honest relationship. It got to be on my terms. It got to be on my terms. Huh, man? You feel me, Paul? You know what I mean? You know, I'm talking about the openness and the commitment required in the 8th step. The openness and the commitment. I was just sitting with an addict last night, and I thank God for him, and we were talking just about that. You know, the openness to see the harm that I've caused you and the commitment to be able to be willing just to put it on paper. Just write it down. That's all. That's all I'm asking. You know, I'm talking about having a family, and as my children, and by the way, thank God for children. You know, thank God for my daughter was just accepted at Spelman. I have a son at Stanford University, in spite of. And he's getting ready to graduate. I'm talking about some brilliant children, in spite of an addict like me. You know what I mean? And I remember coming in my door, man, and they were so small. You know what I mean? And in the beginning, it would be, Daddy's home, Daddy's home. But let me tell you something about this damn disease as it progresses. Huh? And when you start walking in the door, because the boss don't piss you off, because you don't like taking instructions anyway, for real. You know what I mean? And you walk in the house, and the first thing you see is a sock on the step. Now, the wife is in the kitchen cooking peaceful. She all right. See, my husband come home, and the children is playing, and they all secure and fun. And you can, what the hell is this doing here? Why is this in front of me? Clean it up. Not now, but right now. And if you continue to do that, what happens when you open the doors, no more daddy, daddy, you start to hear the footsteps of little children running upstairs in their room because they don't know what the hell is going to happen. So this fool just came in the house. Huh? Feel me now. You know what I'm talking about. This damn fool just done came in the house. I don't know what to expect no more. And check this out. I wasn't even smoking crack then. Huh? I wasn't even smoking. Right? I wasn't drinking no alcohol. Being a former United States Marine, you know, yeah, you feel it now, right? You know, I run some things. I will control you. I will intimidate you purposely. Leadership by fear. That's what I'm talking about. And these things today are still in my behavior. And then there are things, you know, that scare me sometimes because I identify with my behaviors today. Some of these behaviors are before the drug. Now, I want y'all to listen to this. Some of the behaviors are before the drug. Now, think about this, Wayne. What did you do then when you had those behaviors? What did you do with those feelings? That is a scary, scary thought. Ever so scary. So in the A step for me, I had to identify with the harm. There was no room for denial. None. All I had to do was pray, use a sponsor, and identify with my story. I mean, it's real clear. You know, I'm the same guy. See, on my list, I didn't just put my immediate family. Most people that I came in contact with were harmed in some way, shape, or form. And I don't remember all of them. Yeah, I don't remember all of them. And the literature tells me I'll never be finished anyway. I won't. And that's okay. That's all right. Because I'm fine. I told you, that was my first cycle of self. Now, there's some serious work to be done. You see what I'm saying? I floated through the first. I was like, ooh, Lord, man. I was loving it. And not that I'm not loving it today. I'm just resisting some things, and I'm paying the price for it. See, I'm resisting some things. Because, see, the sixth step also told me about me being rebellious and defiant. Yeah. It's kind of hard to have a good prayer life when you got the defect of rebellion up front. See? Because if I'm rebellious, I ain't listening. When the voice come, I'm putting it on mute. Y'all know the voice. Ain't nobody crazy. It, you know, people I see talking to themselves, I know they all right. It's the ones that ain't saying nothing I'm concerned about. Yeah, I mean that. Huh? Huh? Don't you like that hit? That was a good hit, wasn't it? That was a hit right there. Huh? You know, so, you know, in the eighth step, I had to really clearly take a look at my story. See, I'm the same guy who would go around in the community buying them dollar houses, right? And fix them almost up, just almost, just enough so I can get a dirty mattress in there and a bucket to urinate and defecate in. And see, I'm the type of guy, using wasn't the problem, it was me having the resources to use. That was my problem. So I had the resources to use. See, I put alarm systems and stuff like that in because I'm a real paranoid guy. You know what I mean? Because when I do what I do, they coming to get me. I don't know about nobody else. Somebody coming to get me. You know what I mean? So I'm a guy that like to set up the security alarm system right in the gate. Around, you know, I'm talking about the 8-foot gate, you know, with the barbed wire, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know? So I had to put my community on the 8-step list. There's a building in which is owned by our family, in Philadelphia. This building used to be a bar. I mean, as far as before I was born, it was a bar. When my family took it, it was a bar, you know. And that building is now, it stopped being a bar, and we're starting to change it. We're starting to put something there that will be helpful to the community. And I don't want to talk about the ninth step, but that was just on my heart, you know, because I did a lot of damage in my community. A lot of damage. See, I used to sleep in this abandoned car right on the corner of 30th and Dolphin. Right directly across the street from a building that I had keys in my pocket to. That was functioning if I chose to go there. I'm talking about the shame and guilt that will drive you to a point to be so isolated. You know, you understand? See, by that time, dereliction and degradation is in place. It is in place without question. It's there. And you might want to keep me abreast of time. Because I'll roll, man. You know what I mean? For real. You know, you know, before I came here, you know, I was all up in my head about a lot of different things, you know, because I have ego, I have image, and there's no question about that. You know, I'm honest about my dishonesty, because I have to be, because I really don't want to use no narcotics. See, I can probably cut up and be off the hook. I can probably be in relapse for a minute, and newcomer, listen to this, right? I could probably be in relapse for a minute because I've been here for a minute. So I have a little bit of a foundation that might allow me to play to a certain extent. But make no mistake about it, what I have found out, with every defect, with every flaw in my character, behind it is a hit of crack waiting on me. I might not do it today. Let me keep going and see what happens. You know how I go. You know how it's like, damn, how I get hit? What happened? How I get right here? You know, it's like when I thought I could control using, I get my paycheck and say, well, I'm just going to do one. That's all. I'm going to do one. All right, let me do one more. That's all. I'm just looking and searching for what's already inside of me, but I don't know that. And then all of a sudden, it's down to change, and I'm looking. And I got to leave now because I don't have no more money, so they're going to make me get up out of there. And they're going to tell me something like, hey, why don't you go check out so-and-so over there and tell them to get this thing here. And when I leave, they lock the door. When you come back, the lights is out. Like they sleep now. Yeah. But for real, now it's just me and that power. The God of my understanding, who I really don't want to communicate with. Because for me, in active addiction, if I identify in the least bit with a power greater than me, it's going to mess up my high. I run on self-will, for real. Yeah, for real. So what I'm telling you is that in this eighth step, the harm part of it was real important to me. Because I have a way about myself, even today, which is coined or characterized by the flaws in my character, the defects that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the arrogance ruining relationships. I'm talking about the lust ruining the relationships. I'm talking about the dishonesty ruining the relationships. My life has gotten better because I'm now getting a better relationship with honesty, with open-mindedness, with willingness. I'm getting a better relationship with me, with the God of my understanding. Because right here in 8, I can start to accept some of the things that I do. That's what this is about. This is about me getting better with me, about self-accepting. Because I'm going to make some mistakes. 5 minutes. My man, I can do that in 5 minutes. I might be able to do it quicker than that. I tell you, you need me. You know, before I came here to this convention, you know, I was doing all this studying. I think I was talking about this earlier. I was doing all this studying and just kind of looking things up. But see, the thing about it is that for me, I have to keep this fresh. I have to keep fresh the moments of laying on that dirty mattress, right, having bathed in days, wearing the same clothing with a bucket to urinate and defecate in the corner and closing my eyes. And hoping I don't wake up. So I got to keep that, like, real fresh. See, I got to remember that drunk. You know what I mean? I got to remember how I manipulated the system to get places which would secure me to use. I got to remember that. You understand? I got to remember. I have to remember the children. I got to keep that up front. Because, see, now today I'm able to be able to participate in my children's life. And I tell you, it gets better because the eighth step is about relationships. See, in the beginning in treatment, and I don't know what this is all about, right? But why is it that we stop using, we think we can be parents and all that kind of stuff? I mean, where does that come from? I just stopped using yesterday. Now I want to be your father. I want to be your husband. Mom, what you need? I'm going to take care of you now. Damn drunk, you better sit down somewhere, learn how to stop using a day at a time, let the Creator work. See, when I was in treatment, I used to write all these letters, shame and guilt. That's what the spirit won't operate, out of shame and guilt. I'm writing letters to the kids, and they ain't answering nothing. You in treatment again? You what? You know what I mean? I'm calling the ex-wife for pain, Because she got to heal, too. See, they have to heal, too, man. So I'm on the phone, and she just, oh, good God, reading me like, who would have thought? And all I want is just for her to be all right so I can be all right. And you know what I mean? Always thinking about stopping and not using. Damn fool. You know, I need some help. You know, I need to come outside of Wayne. I really do. And I need to come to y'all and say, hey, man, I messed up. You know, I just want to say before I close, man, it is some great people in my life today. It really is. It really, really is. Because most of the people who are really close to me accept me for who I am. You know, and they say that those that judge don't matter. Right? Right? Y'all with me? You know what I mean? See, I can relate to you easier when I know you accepted me. But see, that only can happen when I can accept you. You see what I'm saying? In order for me to have a friend, I got to be a friend. Lately, I haven't been doing well in that area. You know, I have been not honoring my commitments. You know, God has allowed me to be self-employed. I told you I was going to bring you up today, didn't I? You know, and what's happening is right now the business is struggling, man. We are like struggling, but we only struggling because of me, because I'm struggling. Because I'm not honoring my commitment. Because I become complacent. Because I don't pray as much as I used to pray. You understand? Eighth step is about me taking a look at my part. And ain't blaming the customers for not paying their damn bills because they ain't paying. You know what I mean? The work getting done now. Don't get me wrong. But it's not about that. Justification, rationalization, denial. See, I can go there real quick. Because I don't want to look at me all the time. I don't want to examine me. And in the eighth step, I have to examine me. I got to look at me. I'm causing harm to other people. Why are you doing that? Don't you know you don't have to do that? Don't you know that people will shun you? Don't you know that all of your affairs will become unmanageable? And you wonder why? How to get here? One more time. And this is away from the drug. See, this ain't about the drug. This is about the behavior. The behavior that was before the drug and the behavior that can come after the drug. I can't say that I haven't changed because I have. There's no question in my mind about that. I've definitely made some very profound changes in my life. However, I'm going to give you this and I'm going to close. The journey as I understand it today, and my clean date is November the 5th, 1996. I've been here 1,621 days in a row uninterrupted. I love you, Edie. I love you. Yeah. You know, I lost my train of thought just that quick. Anyway, I'd like to thank the program committee. So I'd like to thank the program committee for allowing me and taking a risk to have a guy like me to come up here and share their experience, strength, and hope, especially in the area of the solution. And the solution in Narcotics Anonymous is the steps. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing, Wayne. Next speaker will be Lynn.
I'm an addict. My name is Lynn. Hi, everybody. Thank you, Wayne. I did the tipping in the grandma's bedroom thing, the money in the drawer. Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Before we start talking about the eighth tradition, is anybody here for their first convention? Welcome. Without Narcotics Anonymous, I'd be dead by now. If you use the way I used, it's a miracle to have any clean time at all and be able to speak. So I'm real grateful. And I'm also grateful to have recovered in Washington, D.C., in the Chesapeake-Potomac region, because we have meetings all the time. We have 300 meetings a week in our region. Some places have meetings Tuesday and Thursday, and maybe one on Sunday. Some places don't have meetings at all, so I'm blessed, and we are. I'm real grateful. The first time I thought about traditions, I was living in St. Elizabeth's Hospital in treatment. and I didn't have a sponsor, and I was skipping the steps that said God. And an alumni of the institution came and brought a meeting, and it wasn't really NA. It wasn't really anything except what this man was being allowed to do. And he called it the feelings meeting, and we were required to attend. So even though it wasn't NA, I decided to protest and write a letter to the facility, quoting traditions, to say why this alumni shouldn't be allowed to have this meeting that we were required to go to talk about the first time we felt something. And he wasn't a counselor, but he was an interested alumnus. And I found that letter in my stuff. I was throwing away some paper, and it's really insane. But at least I was aware of traditions. The service centers that the Eighth Tradition talks about, one of them is in Baltimore. It's on Warwick Avenue. The special worker that we employ there is named Frank. Now, we pay Frank to answer the phone and do the accounting and receive literature from the World Service Office to sell to anybody that comes there. Mostly groups come there and area service literature committees, but anybody can come there. Frank happens to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous, but in his capacity as special worker, he's not different from us. We pay him to do a job so that we don't have to do it ourselves. There are a lot of jobs in NA that we do as trusted servants that we're not paid for. Nobody gets paid to take meetings to a jail week after week. Nobody gets paid to show up at your home group and open the door and make the coffee and set up chairs. It's us helping each other for free. It's a therapeutic value. None of us are trained professionals to do that kind of work. We don't have to go to classes to understand how to relate to each other and how to help each other. NA doesn't work that way. If it did, it wouldn't be NA that we know. It would be some of us have certain designations to talk about heroin addiction, and other people have this other designation, and they had to get to continuing professional education training to talk about how alcohol affects the brain. We don't do that. All we know is don't use no matter what, pray, help somebody else, come, you know, show up, and we can help you. It can work for anybody. Doesn't matter. So the tradition says forever non-professional. Now, in the basic text that Wayne has, the Eighth Tradition is really short. It's just a few paragraphs. And if you read it, it says that we have professionals in Narcotics Anonymous because a lot of people suffer from the disease of addiction. A lot of people used and found it necessary to find something to help them outside of themselves because whatever they were doing wasn't working, and come to NA from all kinds of places. We have politicians in recovery, all kind of celebrities, Hollywood people. We have doctors and lawyers, nurses. You know, I'm a professional. But I'm a recovering addict. And my profession in my career has nothing to do with showing up at my home group getting some help. It doesn't mean that I'm selected to be the leader because it doesn't mean that we use the NA members that happen to be clergy to say the closing prayer. They're just a recovering addict trying to get help, even though they happen to be a minister. That's okay. We can love them too. It's okay. So the other special workers that Narcotics Anonymous employs in service centers are around the world. Other regions have service centers, just like the one that, now I'm saying we because the Chesapeake and Potomac region doesn't really have its own. We joined with Baltimore, and since the World Service Office cut the literature discount, they're struggling, you know. So if you all are buying your literature somewhere else, Frank is working in the merchandise room right now if you need to talk to him about where the service center is. But the Greater New York region has a nice one in Manhattan. The World Service Office in California, NAWS, is the biggest one in the United States, but there's one in Europe. The Asia Pacific Forum has one. Australia has one. And they're all the same. They all sell. I mean, that's all we do is sell NA literature at the service center. And it's a place where committees can meet. And that's all they do. They don't have literature from any other fellowship or any other spiritual program because it's just NA. It's the primary purpose. Everything we do is supposed to help keep a seat for the newcomer, keep a seat for the new person coming in. Everything we do is supposed to be to keep the door open for the person who doesn't even know they're coming so that we can keep this thing going because it's really working. I really want it to stay because it's helping me. So I have my little highlighted program. That's about all I want to say about the A tradition because it is so vital. Steps are in my life so that I can completely change my old way of thinking or I have no choice but to go back to using. That's in the first step. And the purpose, I believe, is for me to have a spiritual awakening. And that's working out. I'm digging that. Traditions are in place so that we don't kill each other. Trying to do what we do so that we can stay around and continue the unity and help each other. So traditions are really important. They're in the basic text after the steps, after a chapter called What Can I Do? You know. So there's time for other people to come up and share about anything they'd like to regarding the eighth step or eighth tradition. Thanks for letting me share. Thank you.